The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. Some Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and so in the same way all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her." Jesus said to them, "Those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive." This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, if you are not in the first service, you can answer this question, so you have to be quiet. So I have a question for you this morning. Which is heavier? So I'm asking, which is heavier? A pound of sand or a pound of feathers? Which is heavier? Which is heavier? Oh, you're so smart. Yes, you're exactly right. They're the same. A pound is a pound, regardless of what it is we're measuring. If it's feathers, if it's sand, if it's apples, if it's chocolate, if it's a pound, right? Right. Okay, some people are very clever. My son loves questions like those riddles that you have to kind of figure out, and sometimes there's double meanings or there's layers you have to peel back and figure out. And when I'm figuring them out with him, it's fun and interesting. But in real life, sometimes those trick questions are not always as interesting or fun. Most of us have had that situation where we found ourselves in between a rock and a hard place, where you're given two choices or decision to make, and you know that if you say or do this, then that's going to happen. And then if you say or do that, then this is going to happen. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. Those sorts of situations are not fun. This may very well be how the Sadducees came and approached Jesus in our gospel lesson for today. Because they were looking to trap him, to trick him, to trip him up in his words. You know, at this point in his ministry, the air around Jesus was charged. I mean, absolutely electric. You had, on the one hand, those who were lost, those who were named sinners and ostracized, who were healed and made whole, who couldn't help but give thanks and praise to God for the healing that they experienced in Jesus. On the other hand, you had the religious authorities, the leaders in the church, who were very offended by what Jesus was saying. And then you had all sorts of people who weren't sure exactly even what to think. They were still deciding. They were curious, wondering, who is this Jesus and what is he about? And you know how it is with perspective. Kind of as we live our lives, we often find what it is we're looking for. Perspective is such that we often find what we're looking for. So for example, if you are thankful and grateful, like the lost who have been forgiven or healed by Jesus, then you're going to find more to be thankful about, more to celebrate, more to praise God for. If you are angry or offended like the religious leaders, you're going to find more reasons about Jesus to become upset. For the Sadducees, their perspective was clear. They were looking to shut Jesus down. They were looking to set some sort of an intellectual trap, to trick him, to expose him and his teachings, especially about the resurrection, as being false and absurd. Now, the Sadducees were religious leaders who sought to be obedient to the law of Moses. They didn't believe in the resurrection. Life on earth is all we have. They didn't believe in any sort of life after death. They wanted to reveal the foolishness of what Jesus was saying about resurrection. So they brought him that trick question about a widow who remarried her husband's brother. Now that in itself wasn't a trick at all. It's actually a law of Moses that if a man died and his widow was left childless, especially with no sons, then his brother could take her in as a wife and she could bear children in honor of her husband. So the Sadducees came to Jesus with that scenario, except they took it to extreme, where a widow ended up marrying 7 brothers and not having children with any of them. So their question to Jesus was, okay, Jesus, so what about this resurrection? In the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? She married 7 brothers. But Jesus is very wise, and he turns their question back to them. And he reminds them that God's ways are not our ways. That the things of heaven are not the things of earth. Now, Jesus points out that death is the end of many things, but it isn't the end of everything. Our death certainly is not the end of God. We are not eternal, but God is. That love of God goes on forever. This love existed for us before we were born, exists for us now as we live here on this earth, and will continue to exist even after we die. Things in heaven do not work the way they do here on earth. Heaven is a place. What it looks like or how it is, we don't really know. But Jesus tells us that it's a place where those who have been dehumanized will be restored. Where those who have been oppressed will be set free. Where those who have been treated as inferior will be lifted up. Where all people are loved children of God. The promise of resurrection is that God in Jesus Christ brings life from death, brings hope from despair. And in this hope, there's peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace that you can't find anywhere here on earth. A peace that you can only find in Christ. Peace that's grounded in the promises of God. Even though it may seem a bit foolish and absurd, we can live our lives in hope because God is a God of the living. God is a God of life, God of love. God of promise, God of resurrection. We don't know what our future holds, but we do know who holds the future. Because of that, we live in hope, trusting that our lives in this age and in the age to come are held in God's hands. And that this God is a God of life. This God created life, redeems life, gives new life to those who believe. Our God is a God of relationship, God of healing, a God of forgiveness, a God of love, a God who brings new life even out of death. God is a God of resurrection. And because of this, as God's people, as the body of Christ here on this earth, we're given the absurd challenge to live foolishly, to live out that promise of resurrection in our lives, to live lives that are life-giving and hope-producing, to do crazy things like plant flowers and harvest potatoes and corn and give it away, to care about children, children in this church, children across the street, children across the world, to play music and sing hymns of praise, even when our souls are sad, to create art, to offer words of forgiveness and encouragement, to laugh and smile and hug and enjoy each other, to lend a heart and lend a hand to someone in need, to be foolish and give birth to hope, even in the midst of despair. Why? Because we're God's children. We are children of the resurrection. And we belong to God. We always have, and we always will. God loves us and cares for us and will never, ever let go of us as we live and as we die. So today and every day, we live in hope, trusting that our lives in this age and in the age to come are indeed held in God's hands. This God is a God of love, a God of life, and a God of resurrection. Thanks be to God. Amen.